back to the Dark Night of the Soul. Getting brighter. where do we stop?
Satan says you can't trust the Trinity.
I can't trust the Trinity. 319, second column, about the middle. Interesting point here, I think. Curious as to your reaction. Not quite yet. I think you've got the basic idea, just to touch on some points that expand on what we're saying. About three-fourths of the way down that second column on 319, I am ambition, greed for fame, lust for action. I'm the fizz of new thoughts and action. The absolute is boring and vegetative.
You want our reaction to that?
It's the one I wanted your reaction to is coming up, but you're welcome to give a reaction to that if you want. But I don't think that's so difficult. It's what we have to keep alive and yet can't be dominated by. And that's what he's realizing. He's thinking, yeah. About a little more than three-fourths down, where it says, S, my reaction is far from personal. I am utterly restless, quickly hurrying life. I'm never contented, never unperturbed. I pull everything down and hastily rebuild. I'm ambition, greed for fame, lust for action. I'm the fizz of new thoughts and action. The absolute is boring and vegetative. So the absolute would be that synthesized condition, which, again, he hasn't quite figured out. It's a spiral. And the very last line, could you exist without divisiveness and disunity? You have to get worked up about something.
Can synthesis ever really be a standstill?
No. But he thinks it can.
I see. You don't think he's experiencing an inner feeling of...
He might be feeling an inner feeling of peace. I'm guessing he's come to terms with Tony Wolf.
Well, I guess he's not even describing it. His standstill is peace. Satan says,
oh,
you don't
Satan,
like
yeah.
it. Well, I mean, Satan says to Jung, you don't like it either, somewhere here. Oh, he says, since you too find the standstill
mm-hmm.
unbearable.
Yeah. These pages just go back and forth. It's really nothing profound. The really important thing is that we've seen the serpent and the soul as being a continuum. This is just afterthought.
I had a question just up from that where it says that's not so strange. The absolute was always adverse
mm-hmm.
to the living.
Mm-hmm.
I am still the real master of
mm-hmm.
it. I
mm-hmm.
didn't understand the adverse to the living.
Well, again, I think it's that the synthesized condition seems lifeless. And the interesting thing is the ambition, greed, lust.
Okay.
And we'd like to think you can get rid of it. You can't.
Okay.
And you shouldn't even try. Because if you do, you're dead. But we also want to grow and broaden ourselves where there will be periods of respite. And productivity and calm, but the storm will always come back.
It sounds like the standard.
Yeah. And enjoy them.
When I was reading this, I was thinking of a business book I read called something about good being the enemy of great.
Mm.
And how you know, you become the number one company, you do things all the same way, but then somebody innovates around you, and then you have to grow and change again to be up on top again. But, you know, all of these big companies that you know, that have things that they think are perfect, or whatever you do that you think is perfect, eventually things are going to go all around.
Yeah.
It's always going to become,
yeah.
You can't, you know, stasis is it's good if you find perfection, but if people are growing around you, it's going to become evil at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Look at Microsoft. First it was IBM. Microsoft capitalized on their stasis, and now Microsoft is static, and Apple is capitalizing on that stasis.
I think that might have been one of the ones that they used in the
Okay.
Well, so far we haven't gotten any kind of a in our thinking or what we're interpreting, we haven't gotten the idea that all this greed and so forth can be redeemed. You know, this is coming up, I assume.
I think it can never be redeemed. Totally. We integrate parts of it. That's what he's having to face, I think. And so that spiral is always one more onslaught of one of those deadly sins. There's a difference between a psychopath and a moral person as we say, okay, here it comes again. I don't have to make the same mistakes as I made before, but I have to wrestle with this enthusiasm and find what it's asking of me.
Spiral. Maybe the circumference of the spiral
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
smaller, so it's,
well,
less,
yeah.
so it's less destructive.
Yeah.
Although a tornado, that's where it's most destructive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, Yeats has the idea of turning a gyre or a spiral is a funnel shape.
That's a very appropriate image. So that at death, there's no more spiral.
That's where you still have perception. Why? You mean that there's no more growth?
Yeah, I mean that we have lived all of the satanic elements, quote unquote, through our life, so that we're ready to die when death is here and life has been lived. And then we pass over.
To what?
Well,
nobody knows.
But if that guy's dream is of any truth, to another state of consciousness,
yeah.
With, and I think the idea that we're working with here, at least, if you can live that spiral, then you can die peacefully. You say, okay, this has been a good trip. That's what's next. I am not dying without having lived. And I have walked several people who haven't lived to death, and it is, you can't imagine what a horrible thing that is. It's like you say, well, I kind of goofed off today, tomorrow I'll read the book. Except you don't have a tomorrow. And you realize that. So that we can live our life and accept this, let's call it instinctual activation, extract the meaning of it till we have lived our life and developed through living until the development has reached its finished state.
For this lifetime.
For this life, yeah.
And that, in a way, is positive.
Yeah. It's very positive. Very hopeful.
I think it's interesting that the Romans really worshipped their ancestors. That meant their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. They had altars to them in their homes. And it was sort of like this feeling that one sometimes gets about having help from the beyond. And maybe what would be a parent or something who would be helping you through something. And I really think they experienced that. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would fit these near-death experiences, yeah, where you're met by, yeah, somebody.
And that's the other thing, that the Eleusinian Mysteries, they had some kind of mushroom thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they got so many people back every year.
Mm-hmm.
That was their one.
But it was to introduce them to immortality.
Well, it was, because what they were showing, from what I can gather, the things that they were showing at the end is sort of like, you know, when you go to Mass and he holds up the host, you know, and that was exactly what went on, except there was a shaft of wheat or something like that. And if you were not in an altered state, you might not get as much out of it, mm-hmm, as you would if you were. So,
which is something that you both said. When you say you integrated, you know, the minor part of the
grief,
does that mean you can?
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to verify.
And I believe the I believe what he's working with here, within each one of these states, ambition, greed, fame, lust for action, is a message. And when you get the message, the intensity of the state dwindles. And then you grow, become more broader person, a deeper person, more creative person, more substantial, so on.
So the image of this, the spiral is reducing in circumference, becoming like a tornado. Would then focus your power. You go from being kind of out of control to very controlled, focused power. If the spiral went the other way, you'd be blown out of control.
Yeah.
It'd be just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty much the opposite of the Indian journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I just wanted to mention to you, you know, in the footnote down there, he talks about Haeckel. Is that how you say it?
Haeckel.
The
biologist?
Yeah, did you know that he championed that idea of ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny?
No.
He did.
Hmm.
I was surprised when I read that.
What footnote is that?
We're on page 319, footnote 305. Because I guess Haeckel championed monism,
mm-hmm,
and Haeckel was just like a real piece of work. He was just
he
was a racist, and he was he was like a real union of opposites. He was light and dark, glaringly,
mm-hmm,
I guess. But he championed that idea.
In German, obviously, huh?
He was the first person to illustrate the radiolarian, to actually see it, and that was Jung's vision that turned him from philosophy to science,
mm-hmm,
which I thought was just kind of an interesting
connection. Very interesting. Let's see. This dialogue continues. Trying to see how we can save a little time. Till 320, first column, right before the story did initial 164. The argument about the absolute and the passionate, you might say. I don't think we need to go into those details unless you're...
What's image 163?
Why don't you should look at that? That one.
Oh, okay.
Do you
want to
look at that one more? Do you
want to
like that?
Yeah, why don't we? Because this is really the culmination. I'll read you some of the editor's comments. At the bottom, that text says, 1928, when I painted this image, which showed the golden well-fortified castle, Richard Wilhelm sent me from Frankfurt the Chinese 1,000-year-old text of the golden castle, the embryo of the immortal body. Jung described this as a mandala, as a fortified city with wall and moat. I don't think I need to read anymore. But the idea is that it was a portrait of that dream, and the remember that had a magnolia. That's the magnolia there, and it's surrounded by the city.
Well, this one's the castle, which he equates with the magnolia, right?
Yes. Let me see.
Or the, what do, they don't call it a castle, they call it a temple? Or
a painting of a medieval city with walls and moat, streets and churches arranged quadratically. The inner city is again surrounded by walls and moats like the imperial city in Peking. The buildings all open inward towards the inner center, represented by a castle with a golden roof. It too is surrounded by a moat. The ground around the castle is laid with black and white tiles representing the unified opposites.
Interesting to see that the points of entry are not perfectly radially arranged.
Uh-huh.
The roads coming in, or the little bridges going into the inner city.
Yeah.
And that the church elements kind of interesting. There's one really big one in the upper right, and one on the left one's right. Well, I'm just curious if anyone has an interpretation of why these things are not as radial as the inner city.
There's some randomness outside that secret center right there.
The road's leading in or somewhere there. At the margins. It was the fact that it's sort of oval, not quite round. Comes more round as you get toward the center. That may have been because he was knew he was doing it on a page that had an elongated vertically.
Yeah, that church in the upper right corner. I don't know.
It's a really jewel-like room.
Yeah. Oh, what are those? Are those people? Are those? Are those tiles?
Well, there's one here. Mm-hmm. There's one
that
here.
Right.
Is that one?
That's a call. That looks like a gate room.
All three churches are in cruciform. And what's, is this one
that,
I am?
Yeah.
And this not?
Aren't those the
be that some
or mosque. Just the, you know, like towers?
Yeah. Yeah. The three churches.
It looks like one of those fancy roofs where the tiles are two colors. And they make a...
I don't even see how it's a roof.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah. It looks like all of the cloth.
That's because those little random light elements
are confusing the mind.
Hmm. Can you show the roof on that?
Yeah.
Here.
The roof is the cross shape, and you see how there's light, the dark side and the light side of that arm. The dark side and the light side of that
mm-hmm.
arm. Dark light, dark light.
Yeah.
And that one's better.
It's quite clear here, but yeah, you would have to turn the light on though, and we won't have to take a look at this. Take your turns out.
All right. Oh, it is much clearer.
Yeah, that's
good. Almost like a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Quilt.
It looks like the London Bone.
Uh-huh.
I've seen those kind of moves before. They're an alfalfa
ring
area in Europe. They have churches and the hospitals.
Yeah.
Really? Crisscrossing. Yeah. Are they shingles that are made like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're ceramic tiles. Mm-hmm. At least in Burgundy they are. Mm-hmm. But then they're colored or they're painted or, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get hit in the head with one when they fall off.
Did you say Dong said he was wondering why this was Chinese?
Yeah.
And he mused about it, but he didn't find an answer.
Right.
Okay.
I wouldn't have drawn that conclusion, but I guess he did.
Well, you know those Buddhist mandalas of the,
mm-hmm.
of the sacred city
see,
look
yeah.
so similar to
mm-hmm.
this.
Well, one church is a very simple roof.
Mm-hmm. It is strange.
Is that a moat you can run? There's moat one, moat two, moat three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that outer one is moat two.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the Aztec sacred city was supposed to be laid out, right?
Well, maybe it's simply a round mandal that just got elongated because the page required it. Because the
mm-hmm.
four entries into the city are opposite each other, just but because it's really elongated, this moat, these sections seem larger.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right relationship. And that is quadrilateral, as he says. Also, it's the octagon.
And also these
hexagon all worked in there.
These things here, it looks like that. He's writing in there.
Yeah,
those are
the roads
and bridges.
The outside world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The designs that outside of the beams, certainly the middle,
I wonder if they represent, it looks like a labyrinth. Mm-hmm. That is it, your journey. Mm-hmm. You're starting around and doing this. Flying in places.
Well, I was just rereading here the footnote 307. And it just occurred to me. He says, a picture like this is unknown in Christian symbolism. And I wonder if he doesn't mean, in Christian models, it's always Christ or Mary at the center. Here you've got a castle at the center. That could be one of the distinguishing features.
Ancestors or the Golden Castle.
Is that the end of
here, Jane? Yes. Down there towards the bottom of it. Well, that would include your
right.
Roman thing, mm-hmm. Part of your castle with all your ancestors.
Yeah.
Did you understand the square inch and the square foot thing?
Probably not. Where is it?
It's right after the Book of the Yellow Castle. At the end of that book. Footnote. In the square inch field of a square foot house, life can be regulated.
Let's see.
And then he goes on, it gets more square foot houses, the face. He talks about the heavenly heart. Yeah, right. How did you get to heavenly heart?
I don't know that much about Eastern religion, but what I do know, they're looking for conflict. Once you give up all your attachments, then you're at peace. So I wonder if that's particular to that you can only regulate that, you know, everything is regulated, there's no conflict. I guess Garden of Eden in the Western mind, whatever.
That would be the heavenly mind.
Maybe. That's where I'm going. I'm not sure that's significant for anybody else, but
Taoism borrows things from Buddhism, which is developed out of Hinduism, and then it could point. It's in the face, right there.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. That I think that's what they're making reference to. The third eye. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I imagine.
Yeah. Well, what I get is quite similar. That, you know, I always think of it this way. The West says, if there's a problem, how can I change it? The East says, there's a problem. Who am I that this is happening to me? And by changing who I am, I change the effect of the problem. So that could be what the square inch that could be the square inch field, that's me, of the square foot house, that's the world. And I can regulate who I am, and that will affect. The outer world. And you know, personally, I think both are true. Somebody who marries the third alcoholic and then complains about men or women, you want to say, you're drawing that to you. But there are other times, I think, where problems need to be attacked and you not ask, why is that happening to me? So that could be what he's coming into, realizing how, under certain circumstances, we create our present by who we are. And that story that Jung told of the woman who, every time she went out, crows would attack her. And she came to consult with him. And he said, let's go out for a walk. Sure enough, crows attacked her as they were walking and left him alone. That would be, you can work on the square inch then.
Stop dressing in corn.
Pardon?
Stop dressing in corn.
Maybe, yeah. Take off that blouse that's got the ears of corn on it, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
It was Maisie.
Well, maybe we should stop on that one. That's a good one. That would take us right before Historian Initial 164. Just to anticipate, what we're going to see is this dialogue with Satan now shifts away from stasis or dynamic. He's worked that through. And what's going to come out of this is creativity. Severe. And that's going to be the resolution, the practical resolution. So as I see it, what he was doing was wrestling with this dynamic and realizing what is coming out of it is his creativity for the next 30 years. So the Kabiri are the creative creatures. So that we're slowly winding our way to resolution. So let's see. We got... How much do we get done?
Wow. Maybe two, page and a half.
Well, where do we start? 318, 319, about a page and a half. I'm just trying to see how much.
Before he started the initial one.
That's probably...
See, that's what I asked earlier on, and he said, yes, we do have a class that day, and now you're saying, no, we don't.
The 20th of December.
No, I was talking about the 20th of November.
Oh, sorry.
I had it written down.
No.
I made that up. Okay.
Well, I meant to say 20th of December.
Yes, because Thursday is Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, I see. No,
when you said the 20th, you meant
20th of December. So we don't meet in 2 weeks.
Okay.
We don't have any makeup either.
Okay.
We don't meet in 4 weeks. We don't have any makeup. We'll meet in 6 weeks.
With Christmas dinner, right?
With Christmas dinner, yeah. So bring your... Sorry, yeah, I misunderstood, Sandy.
I misunderstood.
And then we'll take off... You want to just think ahead. We will then meet 2 weeks after the 20th. We'll start in 4 weeks. And I think we generally get 8 or 10 meetings in between then and June. This one's always short. It's even shorter now because I'm out of town and we got Thanksgiving. But we'll...
probably be 4 weeks after the 20th.
After the 20th. I don't know what the date is. And I'll have to get Karin.
The 17th of January.
Maybe I'll get it off the car and, well, not too far in advance. And I'll mention this to somebody, you know, if you ever talk to her, just remind her of that.
I'll see her.
Yeah. I do. I call her and I send her I send her two emails. So I hope they haven't gotten suspicious. So we stopped at 3. I don't know if you have to read. Why don't you just read over to Historian Initial 176, same page 322. I don't think we'll get that far, but just in case.
276?
Before Historian, stop before Historian Initial 176.
Oh, 176.
On page 322. Questions, thoughts, feelings, reactions, protestations? Okay, see you in 6 weeks.
Wow, long time.
Sorry, yeah. I just couldn't do three.
No. The brain
plus flat.
The brain will rest and be glad.
Yes, gladden the brain.
Safe travel.
Thanks. Yeah.